Okay, well, to start Perek Hay, that's really where we have to come back again and start from the beginning. But Perek Hay ties a lot of this together. It's very practical. It's going to be dealing with, up to now, we've set out the parameters, what betochen is, this world, the next world, the different categories, where you have betochen, where you don't have betochen, how it applies, how to use it, and obviously needs continual work. Now we're going to discuss and focus. There's two main things you have to keep in mind when you're dealing with betochen. The one is betochen is yishuv hadas and menuchas hanefesh. That's what we're striving for. We're striving for menucha. We want to be betach. We want to feel secure. And the second avoida is that you're always asking yourself, what's the difference between this situation for a baal betochen and someone who's not a baal betochen? How does a baal betochen approach this situation? How does he look? And how does someone who's not a baal betochen deal with this situation? Those are going to be the two fulcrums that your avoider turns on. So we'll start this and we'll see. There's a lot to be said here. We had a whole discussion in the 9:30 Vard, not yesterday, the day before. I think we had a whole discussion on a very important yesod in how this works, how a person looks like when he has betochen, doesn't have betochen. Let's start Perek Hay, and you'll see there's a lot of what we've been speaking about comes down to more practical now. Let's see what he says. And just excuse my voice because it's that time of the year again where I don't have to have a voice. It's like Hashem doesn't think I'm entitled to. Magamorishi was very interested today to see what I look like when I'm not shouting. So yeah, it was an interesting share. Anyway. The difference between somebody who has betochen in Hashem and somebody else, in how he approaches that, he's dealing with money. That's an interesting question. Why he's dealing with money, but this applies everywhere. In regard to the ways he goes about trying to make a panosa in this world. The person who has betochen in Hashem and the one who doesn't is going to go about his ishtadlus in seven different ways. Seven areas are going to be different. And we'll see in each of these areas, there's subcategories, and we'll try and deal with all of them. This applies everywhere, by the way. This applies to one betochen when dealing with medicine, with shidduchim, whatever, but they deal with money. It's easy to get a grip on. Echad mem, the first distinction. You trust in Hashem, so therefore he accepts Hashem's judgment. He accepts Hashem's judgment. Sorry, one second. Let's just delete that. He accepts Hashem's judgment in everything that Hashem does for him. He thanks Hashem for the good as well as the bad. He doesn't just accept it, he thanks Hashem for it because he knows that it's not bad. Looks to him that it's bad. That's why he makes a buch dina emes. Hashem takes into account the fact that we're real, that we're human. But a person who trusts in HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that his judgment is correct, and he thanks him for the correct judgment, even though it's not what he would have wanted. That's not poshut. Hashem, Yov says, Hashem gives, Hashem takes. Whether he's giving or taking, Yishem of Hashem Avayroch. He blesses Hashem. David HaMelech says, Chesed u'mishpat shira, whether it's Chesed u'mishpat, I sing. V'amru b'amaseinu zichreinu levrocha, im Chesed ashira, v'im mishpat ashira. He sings, no matter whether it's Chesed u'mishpat. He sings to Hashem in all circumstances, even things that seem to be negative. V'amru, this is the famous Gemara in Brochas, which we've, the Mishnah, we've struggled this, Odmod, Kashe, what you do with this? Chayv Adam Levarach El Ara, Kashem Shu Levarach El Peiva. Rashi, they says, Oto Simcha, Oto Simcha. The same joy that you accept the good, you have to accept the bad. And the Gemara there brings rayas from what we just brought now, from Yehov and from Tehillim. And the Gemara there finishes off and it says that a person should always be accustomed to what Rabbi Akiva says, call the Avid Rahmana the Tov Avid. A person should train himself to always say, call the Avid Rahmana the Tov Avid. Nosh Gamzu L'Toiva. Gamzu L'Toiva is a much higher level. Chazal don't demand that level from us, but they do demand the level of Kol David Rachmana Letovavi. Gamzu Letoiva is you don't see the bad. Gamzu Letoiva is a bekitz. I'm not going into the whole sugya, but Gamzu Letoiva is where a person doesn't see the bad. It's not Kashem Shavarach ala Toiv Kav Shavarach ala Ra. There is no Ra. He only sees good. Gamzu Letoiva. This is good. Rabbi Kiva sees that it looks bad, but he's trained himself to seeing that if it's from Hashem, it must be for the good. Something more that we shaykh to. But one trains oneself. You look in your own life, you'll see many instances, many events like that. You'll see that things that look bad in the end turn out to be good. And we have to use those to deal with the situations where you don't always see the happy ending. And not every story. Every story has an happy ending. We just don't always get to see the happy ending. We don't always see it. But you have enough of an experience of it having happened where you saw something that looked terrible, but then you saw that it was mamash for you. There was a story Rav Biderman told recently about a kid who had a whole fight with his neighbor because the neighbor threw the garbage in the entrance to the apartment building and was very upset. And then he went upstairs to do some work on the mapeset. He fell off the mapeset. He broke his leg, broke his arm, I think. And his head landed on the packet of garbage that was there, that was hiding a rock. He would have bashed his head on the rock. So Rav Biderman said, you don't have to fall off from a pesach to know that Hashem runs the world and everything he's doing for the good. You were upset about the garbage and the knisah to the bdira, the guy wouldn't move it. You were fighting with him, and then the day it saved your life. We all have experiences like that, and you have to utilize those experiences when you don't see it clearly, because you know that it is like that. Okay, so that's the difference between the Baal B'tochen. That is the Baal B'tochen. Everything that happens, he recognizes from Hashem, because that's the starting point of B'tochen. The starting point of B'tochen is it's from Hashem and it's for the good. And slowly, slowly, he trains himself to be able to Cheshen U'Mishpat, Ashira L'Hashem. Now, what's the contrast? Somebody doesn't have trust. K'mo Shenema. Hillel Rosha al Taivas Navshu Batsaya Beirach Neitz Hashem. Somebody doesn't have trust. So he praises Hashem for the good, the things that are going the way he wants them to go. So then he's full of praise for Hashem. But as the Pasuk says, but the wicked man, when he gets his personal desire, then he's very happy. I'm gonna understand what he wants here, just one second. Hillel Rosha al Taivas Nafshe. He praises Hashem. The Rosha praises Hashem. But the robber, the person who's stealing, I don't know what that has to do with anything here. He brings in the footnote here that the Ra is only from the first, the second of the Pasuk has nothing to do with us. He just quoted the whole Pasuk. The Ra of the Chovas Halavavas is from the first part of the Pasuk. That the Rosha praises Hashem when he gets what he wants. Umiskatzev pelokim ala Ra. But he becomes angry with Hashem when it doesn't go the way he wants it to. Moshe Nema, v'yo ki yore v'yekatzev v'kilil v'malkoi u'belokov u'pono l'malo. It says in the Novi in Yeshaya that when a person becomes hungry, then he becomes angry. He blasphemes the king and his gods and directs his face on earth. So that's the difference between a Baal Boteach and somebody who's not got Betochen. Baal Boteach thanks Hashem and praises Hashem no matter what's happening. It can be difficult, it can be painful, it can be bitter, but it can't be bad. And he thanks Hashem for that. And the person doesn't have betochen, he's shrouded in misery because very rarely do things go the way you want them to. Very rarely do things go the way you want them to. And he's always upset and angry with Hashem because it's not going the way he wants.
I'm sorry, I don't know how it fits into this point over here, but aren't you, like, if you're going through something that you're not happy with, that you're struggling with, meant to be davening to get out of it? I'm not saying that you're not thanking Hashem, but you don't want to be going through that. Not that you're saying you know better. You still want to daven that the best thing should be that you don't have to go through that.
Excellent point. Excellent point. There's two parts to what you're asking. The first one is why are you davening in the first place? That's the big question of betochen. Is if everything's on Hashem, it's all for the good, why are you davening to change it? If somebody's sick, why is he davening to get better? It's the best thing that could happen to you. That's number one.
Good point. Yeah.
That's the ultimate question that any Baal Betochen, anybody getting involved in Betochen, is going to have that question. Reb Israel in his Sefer on Emunah and Betochen has a whole chapter dedicated to that question. The second part of your question is if I see something not good, I should daven for it to get better.
I mean, we're saying the opposite.
The Torah machayves you. Chazal say, if there's somebody sick in your house, you should go to Chochem and you should give him the donation and you should ask him to daven for you. What? I call it Tova. That's the stira. So there's a big yesod in Betochen that the Briska Rov brings down. It's ma'od mod choshuv to know. And it's ma'od at a practical level, very important to know this. Philosophically, we may run into a few difficulties, but I'm not interested in the philosophy and the difficulties of that so much right now, but the practicality of it is ma'od mod choshuv. I think we mentioned this many times. Rav Shach brought it down at the hesped that he gave for the Briska Rov, this yesod. And I think it'll answer your question, and it'll redefine a little bit for us how we, on our level, deal and relate to betochen. The Chovas HaLevavos is talking about a Baal betochen. We're not Baal betochen. We apprentices. We're starting. We want to become more Baal betochen. We want to have more Yeshiva Das. We want to trust Hashem more. But we're not there now. We're not Baal betochen. So this, I think, is a very useful piece. Rav Shach once came to the Briska Rov on Erev Rosh Hashanah, and the Briska Rov was very troubled, very worried. So Rav Shach asked the Briska Rov, what are you so troubled about? He said, what's going to be? There's Rosh Hashanah, what do you mean? There's what to be worried about. So Rav Shach said to him, but the Midrash says, Batuchinonu. We go to the mikveh, and we put on Shabbos clothes, and we have a suit, and it's a yontan, because we know, b'tayach, we have betochen, that Hashem's going to take care of us. So the Briska Rov answered him and said, yeah, but how do I know? So Rav Shach was a bit bewildered. I just told you because it's a Midrash. What do you mean, how do you know? It's because the Midrash told you. Briska Rov knew the Midrash. The Briska Rov said, yes, but how do I know? So Rav Shach understood they didn't understand, and he asked the Briska Rov to explain what he's talking about. The Briska Rov said there's a very big stira between that Midrash and the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. The modern Rosh Hashanah says that the Malachim ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why Klal Yisrael doesn't say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah. It's a Yom Tov. Why don't they say Hallel? So Hashem says, I don't know the exact Lashon of the Gemara, but Sifrei Chaim Umavos Posuch Lefonai, V'Klal Yisrael Lo Yomrim Shira? That the Book of Life and Death is open in front of me. And you want them to sing Shira? How can they sing Shira? They're being judged for their lives. Said the Briska Rov, the Gemara is a steer to the Midrash. Why can't they sing Shira? Betuchinonu. Everything's great. Everything's cool. Everything's fine. Nothing to worry about. What's Pshat? Briska Rov said, when you know that Sifrei Chaim HaMavos Posuch Lefonai, and you're really, really worried, and you do everything you need to do, you daven to Hashem, you talk to Hashem, you give it back to Hashem, then you can be ragur, then you can be betuchin. But how do I know that I've got there? How do I know that I've done everything I need to do in order to get a Kadosh Baruch Hu's mercy, in order to get through the day? But Tuchin doesn't mean that when you've got a problem, you say, I call me Shemayim, I call it Tovan, off you go. Rav Pinkus used to say, that's stupidity. A person has a real problem, financial problem, let's say. He has to deal with it. How do you deal with it? He has to daven, he has to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's got to seek eitzes, he's got to do whatever he's got to do. Then he can be betuach, then he's rukua. Borrowed from a piyut, one of the piyutim, I don't think we say it, but one of the piyutim in Rosh Hashanah is called Kesa Malchus. There's a line that says, Pinkas always used to bring this, in Gover Alecha Kas, if your anger will overwhelm me, I'll be so overwhelmed by the anger that you have from me, Hashem Evrocham Imcha, I'm going to run away from you. I'll run away from you. Where'd you run away from Hashem? Where'd you run to when you're running away from Hashem? Elecho, to you. I'm running away from Hashem. Where are you running? I'm running to you, Hashem. Where am I going to run away from Hashem? I'm scared, so I'm running away. So where do I run away to? I run away to Hashem. Betochen doesn't mean, says the Brisker Rav, Akolatova, everything's fine, everything's cool. It is. But we're not holding there. We feel fear. We feel worry. We feel pain. We feel the difficulty. You have to take that and give that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then you can be chilled. If you're still worried after you've done what you need to do, then you have a problem with your betochen. But if you just have a problem with Hashem Yazo HaKolotova and you're not holding, if you're holding there, if you're the Baal betochen that the Chayv Salavavas talks about, gesundheit, go for it. Once Edro Pinkas, he said, he was once driving his car somewhere. He stopped at a red light and he suddenly had a thought. I don't know how many children it was or whatever, but he did a cheshbon that to marry off his children, he's going to need $1 million. I've got 12 children to marry off. How much is it going to cost? The cheapest, whatever. He said he needed $1 million. He said he had Chalisha Sadas. His mamash went into panic. How am I going to marry off my children? He said, while he was sitting there panicking, he looked up and he saw there was a bank loomy, a sign. There was at the bank on the corner there where it stopped. And he said, you idiot. Your father owns all the banks. What's the problem? He'll help you. First, there was the Chalisha Zadas. First, there was the worry. First, there was the concern. And then he drove himself to his level of betochen. Not to someone else's level of betochen, to his level of betochen, and there he functioned. The Ma'od Chashuv to know that. Chizkiah HaMelech would have loved to have been David HaMelech and go to war and fight and do all these shtadlis and do everything he had to do. He knew he couldn't, so he went to bed. That was his shtadlis. He doesn't need to know who he is and function at the level he's at. But the biggest tool that a Baal Betochen has is his tefillah. That's why he is Boteach, because he knows that he can put his problem on a Kodesh Baruch Hu's table and he doesn't have to deal with it. More than he needs to deal with it. Obviously, he has to do what he has to do. That we saw in Perek Dalet, where you do have Betochen, you don't have Betochen. What you have to do, you have to do. I hope that answers your question a little bit, Jonathan.
It's very important. It ties it up nicely.
Yeah. No, it just makes it more real.
Do you know Rabbi Justin Trieger?
I know who he is. I don't know him personally, but I know who he is. Yeah.
One of a nice thing that he added into this exact thing is that when things aren't going your way or whatever's going on, it is going your way, whatever's happening, if you're doing everything you can, like exactly like you just said, then it's like Hashem's talking to you. So you've got to trust, and it's like one step more. He's actually saying it's clear that that's not what you're meant to do or what. It's you being guarded. Your relationship.
Correct.
Beautiful square. Thank you.
It also says when a person has Yisurim, he has to check his deeds. A person has Yisurim, he didn't say, yeah, kolotova, thank you, Hashem. No, he has to mepashpet b'maisav. He says, thank you for the Yisurim. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been mepashpet b'maisav. Who knows what would have been with him? Yeah. No, Ma'od Chashuv, I'm glad you asked that question because people get very mixed up with this. During the Scud Missile War, there was a bocher that came to Rav Pinkas. And he was very nervous. He was very worried. He was thinking of going back to America. He was scared. But everyone was laughing at him and mocking him. And then he was an apikairis. And what's bad with you? You have a tochen. He came to speak to Rav Pinkas. Rav Pinkas said, my boy, if you're not nervous and worried when the Scud Missile's falling, there's something wrong with you. You're supposed to be nervous. You're supposed to be worried. Those people are telling you, yeah, I've got betochen, betochen, betochen. He says, I don't know. Maybe they have, maybe they don't. I don't know. But I don't know if I can trust them. But somebody who's nervous and worried, that's normal. Now you dive into Hashem, you scream to Hashem, you shout to Hashem. Now you're calm. Now you can be relaxed. But you have to do first what you need to do. I told him, for sure, how can you not be nervous? There are people on that level. There were people that held on that level. Great people, there are people, but you have to know where you're holding, not where the next guy's holding. The most important thing is to take the examples that you have in your own life, where things looked bad and they turned out later to be good, and to reinforce those and to use those when you don't see the end result. A very, very important thing to do. Okay, so that's the first distinction between a Baal Betochen and a not Baal Betochen. Vasheni, the second one is. The one who trusts in Hashem, he's got peace of mind. In any situation, whatever's going on, he's happy. He's very calm about any potential gezeiros that Hashem might bring upon him in the future. He knows that Hashem will arrange everything for his benefit in this world and the next world. Everything's cool. He's completely tranquil and peaceful because he has the knowledge that everything, that whatever decrees, whatever's going on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu masadeded them in the best possible way for him in this world and the next world. Good. That's a Baal Betochen. That's what we're trying to become. Well, in the meantime, we have to find out how to do ourselves. Then we're not worried about future tragedies and calamities and whatever. He just goes about his business. For Moshe Omar, David Avashalom, Achle Elokim Doi Minavshi Ki Mimenu Tikvosi. David HaMelech says, may rest in peace. For Hashem only, wait silently on my soul, because for him I hope. I hope to Hashem, if I'm quiet, awake, I'm peaceful. Someone who doesn't have trust in Hashem, he's always worried and anxious. What about the future? He's always in grief and he's always in pain. It never leaves him, whether he's got good or bad happening to him. He's always worried. When it's good now, what will be tomorrow? When it's bad now, he can't anticipate the good tomorrow. He's always anxious and apart. Once again, to different degrees. We're describing two archetypes here. There's going to be times where you're closer to the Baal Betochen. There are going to be times when you're closer to the not Baal Betochen. We're never going to be that bad. Yeah. A big percentage of Americans are taking Prozac because of this. Because they're walking around with daiga and worry and fear and anxious, and then they got all their escapes and narishkats or whatever, because they just don't have a Kodesh Baruch. So how does he feel bad during the good times? Even in the good times, he feels dissatisfied because he's not happy with what he's got. He wants more. He's got an aspiration, he's yearning to get more and more. He wants more possessions, more things. In the good times, he's never happy because it must speak. And during the bad times, Ubera, if Nashu Kate's poor. He's disgusted, he's not happy with the situation. Since it's contrary to his desire and it conflicts with who he is. The bad times are always just, that's not what I want. The mashal the Bali Musa uses, you're staying on a ladder. The person standing on a ladder, the first thing he says to his friend, hold the ladder tight. He's worried that the ladder is wobbly a little bit. So he asks his friend, hold the ladder. Yeah. What happens if there's nowhere there to hold the ladder? So he's relying on Hashem now. Hashem's holding the ladder. But when the ladder falls, now what? So Baal Betochen knows that Hashem's holding the ladder. Therefore, if I fell, it's what Hashem wanted. I call it tova. I'm not going to whether he was negligent. He shouldn't have. He shouldn't have gone up the ladder. He should have waited for something. I'm just trying to understand the Betochen of it for now. It could be that person puts himself in a danger. You can't rely on Betochen then. But put that aside. The Baal Betochen says, yeah. The non-Baal Betochen, what does he say? I didn't want that to happen, so it's bad. Is that conflict between what I want and what I don't want? I want to fall off the ladder. So when I fall off the ladder, how can I say thank you to Hashem for that? I didn't want that. The starting place is yeah, but if Hashem wanted it, it's what's good for you. Start working on that a little bit. It's against his tithes and against his midas. V'chein Amar HaChochem, Shlomo Melech said, Kol Yemei Oni Roim V'Tov Leiv Mishte Tomid. A poor man all these days are bad, but a good-hearted person is always at a party. Life's just one big joy, one big party. So he brings a mice here. I just want to, we'll maybe end just with this mice. He brings here from a mice from the Chasam Sofer, that you see what's called a blessing in disguise. So when the Chasam Sofer married his first wife, her name was Sarah Yurovitz. She had a brother called Reb Hirsch who undertook to support him financially, said he could sit and learn. It worked well for 7 years. And then Chasam Sofer noticed one Shabbos that his wife was wearing a weekday snood and not the one with the gold one that she normally wore on Shabbos. So when he asked, she didn't have a choice. She had to explain that her brother had fallen on hard times. And they kept it secret from the Chasam Sofer because they didn't want to disturb his learning. They didn't want him to be worried about it. But things got worse and worse until she had to sell her Shabbos snood or whatever. She had to pawn it or whatever to pay for the Kiddush one. They didn't have money for one. So the Chasam Chosef said he couldn't carry on being a burden to Reb Hirsch. He had to make his own panasa. So at first he tried to support himself without taking a rabbinic position. Taking a rabbinic position those days was not a poshut thing. If you wanted to sit and learn, it wasn't a poshut thing at all. But eventually he was compelled to accept such an offer and became the Rav of Dresnitz. Dresnitz was a famous city in Hungary. Soon afterwards, Reb Hirsch's business recovered and he began to regain his former financial situation. What happened? Reb Hirsch had to lose his money in order for the Chasam Sofer to accept the position of rabbinical leadership, which set him on the course of finally, eventually becoming the Gadol HaDor. There's an even more acute story by the beginning of the whole Briska dynasty. The beginning of the Briska dynasty was a balabos, and he had a big lumber business. He eventually lost all his money. And because he didn't have work, he went and sat and learned. And from him came the Beis Halevi, and from him came Reb Chaim Briska and the Briska Rov. The Nefesh HaChaim, Reb Chaim Vodrojan said, the only people were saying why this happened. That's because he was giving more than the 20% stocker. That's why he lost his money. The Nefesh HaChaim said, wait and see what happens. You'll see. When they saw what happened, what had come from him, he became such a big Talmud Chochem. The Nefesh HaChaim said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was bringing the Briska dynasty out of this man. But it wasn't fitting that should come from somebody who wasn't a Stolen scholar, such a prestigious family. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away his money. He started sitting and learning and became a Gadol himself. And from him came the entire Briska dynasty. So we don't always know what's going on. We don't always know where the bracha is, where the thing is. But find those things in your own life and start becoming aware of them because they're your best friends. Those little kisses you get from a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the small things. We don't start with big things. You start with the little things. When something looked bad and you suddenly realized, wow, Baruch Hashem wasn't there. Baruch Hashem HaKadosh got stuck because otherwise I would have been there. Something happened, something, whatever. And you'll see you have a whole reservoir of those. Use them. Because when things go rough, whatever, you need to go back to those. Okay, so we're up to the end of the second difference between a Baal Batoch, not Baal Batoch, Mishra Hashem. We'll carry on with that Bezrat Hashem next week.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I rest well and have some tea.
Thank you. Okay. Well, thanks, Jonathan.
Take care.
Sagas with a good walk.